People climb mountains for all sorts of different reasons. But one reason is simply for the view, for the different perspective you get as you look down on the things we normally see at eye level. Those buildings and houses which on the ground seem so large, now no bigger than dolls' houses. And those busy roads and motorways reduced to curving snake-like lines amid the greenery. And often we need that kind of new perspective on our lives, on the things which loom large and frightening, the things which seem confusing, when it seems hard to see the road ahead. In the Bible, mountains were often seen as places of encounter with God. We heard in our Old Testament reading that story of Moses climbing Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Or we could think about Elijah facing down the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And now in today's reading, we heard of Peter, James, and John climbing a mountain with Jesus and finding their friend and leader, this man they know as the carpenter from Nazareth, transfigured before them in the company of those two great Old Testament figures, Moses and Elijah. Sometimes, of course, we talk about mountaintop moments which don't involve literal mountains at all. We perhaps mean those times in life when God seemed almost close enough to touch. Maybe times when faith seemed very real. Perhaps it was when we were confirmed, or some other time that we were particularly conscious of God in church or in a cathedral. But it might have had nothing to do with church at all. Maybe we'd literally climbed a mountaintop, or looked at a sunset, or just looked into the face of a newborn baby. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we could live with that sense of certainty always. But I suspect for most of us, those mountaintop moments are rather rare. Most of life actually has to be lived down in the valley. God isn't absent. God is never absent. But for most of us, most of the time, God's presence isn't tangible. We walk, as St. Paul puts it, by faith, not by sight. So we can surely sympathise with Peter in this morning's gospel reading. We don't know exactly what that experience was like, but clearly Peter wanted it to last forever. He certainly doesn't want to go down that mountain again to follow Jesus to Jerusalem and to the cross. But mountaintop experiences are not the norm. They were not the norm even for Jesus. Instead, they're special gifts that God gives us. We should cherish them, revisit them in our memory, draw strength from them. But we can't hold on to them. See, religious experience, in whatever form it takes, is never meant to be an end in itself. Real faith isn't about escaping from reality. Real faith is actually about facing reality, and with the help of God, being part of the solution to the pain of our world. To be those who help to heal hurts, to speak up for the poor, the helpless, the voiceless, and the forgotten. Real faith isn't about transcending life and living on some sort of higher spiritual plane. Real faith is about being part of God's plan to transform our world for good. Because actually what God changes, he changes through us. I wonder if sometimes people turn away from Christianity because they're expecting it to offer something that it never actually promises. They look for a religion to comfort them and solve all their problems. Now, of course, faith can be a comfort, but it's also a challenge. True faith will never be totally comfortable, because it recruits us to a task. It calls us to sign up on the side of good against evil, of hope against despair, of care for others rather than selfishness. And that won't always be comfortable. After the events in our reading, Jesus will lead the disciples down from the mountain into a world of sick and troubled people, a world of problems which, like those we face today, sometimes seem insoluble. He goes down the mountain to take that hard path that will lead him to the cross. But he does so strengthened and encouraged by his encounter with God. And that's what mountaintop experiences, that's what religious special moments are all about. They're not an end in themselves. They're there to look back on when life gets difficult. They're to encourage us to keep going when perhaps we'd rather give up. And of course, we can't create those moments. We can, however, make time and space for prayer, for quiet reflection. Time to spend in the presence of God. Receiving Holy Communion each week at the Eucharist can actually be a transfiguring moment in our week. A moment when time and eternity intersect as we're taken back into that upper room with those first disciples. As in the bread and wine, the risen Jesus meets with us in our ordinary lives. But those meeting points, wherever or whenever they come, are not to be stopping points, but starting points. They're given to energise us afresh to meet the real challenges of daily life. That's why at the end of a service each week we hear those words, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." We're not to stay in church any the more than Peter was to stay on that mountain. Instead, Christ commissions us. He sends us out into a hurting world as those who've seen perhaps just a glimpse of his glory, those whose lives have been touched just briefly perhaps afresh by his love. In the Church of England calendar, we always hear an account of the Transfiguration on this Sunday, this last Sunday before Lent. It's as if God calls us to come to him and draws back the curtain just a fraction so that we see a glimpse of his glory before we move on into Lent and that time of preparing to remember and enter into Christ's death and passion. And as God said to those fearful, awestruck disciples, so he says to us, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him as we move into Lent and prepare for Easter. Listen to him in those moments when he seems very close. Listen also in those times when we're amid the pressures of work and daily life. Listen to him as we go through those times when we seem stuck in that valley of doubt and despair, where those glimpses of glory seem no more than a distant dream. Listen to him, because the cross was not the end. Death did not defeat the love of God. There are all sorts of ways of using Lent to deepen our spiritual lives, and your notice sheet has a list of a great number of them. There are also some ideas on the website. But perhaps this Lent we might want to be especially on the lookout for signs of God's presence in our lives. Maybe to write them down in a journal, or maybe just to give thanks to God for them at the end of each day. Not necessarily those dramatic mountaintop moments, but those ordinary times when we hear the still small voice of God amidst our daily lives. When we encounter God, perhaps as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we're silent, or in the ordinary day-to-day events of our lives. Because, of course, God is as present in the valleys as on the mountaintops. But we need to look and we need to listen. Let us pray. God of the mountaintop, God of dazzling clothes, be with us on the mountains and in the valleys. Change us Transfigure us to be your agents for change in a needy world. Amen.